If you're tired of arguing with strangers on the internet, try talking with one of them in real life.
Welcome to Back in America, the podcast.
Welcome to Back in America, a podcast exploring America's culture, values, and identity. I am your host, Stan Berthelot. Witches are everywhere. Your neighbor might be a witch. You can run into one at the farmer market, the organic food store, the alternative medicine section of your bookstore, and definitely at feminist rallies. You could even be a witch without knowing it. Since the 1960s, the historical stereotype of the witch has been reclaimed as a feminist icon. In their everyday lives, American witches act just the same as anyone else. While it is forbidden for outsiders to enter certain covens, many sell protection spells on Etsy for $15 a pop. They post pictures of Midnight Sabbath on Instagram and live stream tarot readings on YouTube. Behind the folklore and the spells, the modern American witch is taking a stand against the patriarchy. You will hear from three witches in this episode. Amanda Ocher, an American writer, professor, and editor. Amanda is the winner of several literary awards and is currently working on her third book of poems, which focuses on how witchcraft and faith empower women. Then Capra Woodwell comes in. The third witch is Pixie, a witch from Salem, Massachusetts. The interview of Pixie was recorded live and can be watched in full on YouTube. If you want to learn more about Amanda, her books, and her new witchcraft store, and if you want to explore what Pixie and Cabra are up to, see this episode's note. To explore even further witchcraft and feminism, check out Back in America's newsletter on Subtask. Now, let's hear from Amanda Ocher.
So this one is Waking a Poppet, and a poppet is a doll, and you put items into the doll, whatever intention you want, whether it is hair clippings or fingernail clippings or whatever it is to impart part of yourself into the doll. You can put herbs for a healing poppet, and you sew it up, and then you are supposed to wake the poppet by blowing into the poppet's face, sort of imparting your own energy and part of your own spirit into that doll. So, okay, this is called Waking the Poppet. I breathe into the body I gave you, a body built from fingernail clippings, pubic hair, stitched with my blood, snips of tender skin, the ink coupling of my name and my lover's, rose quartz, scrap of my torn headband, two small buttons, a needle in my fingers. Wake now, my black threaded mouth. Fill his slumber with my garden basil, dried hydrangea. Make me the quartz he carries, the rose petals and the solar plexus. A shoulder filled with lavender, two eyelashes. When he touches you, let him think of my hip bones, the freckle on my throat. You are my lips at his ear, my midnight clawing down his back. Take what you will. Bring him to me.
More carrots. Don't tear it.
Different ethnicities and races have different approaches to these sort of alternative spirituality. My mother is a Christian woman, but she's been doing tarot her entire life.
Cabra Woodwell.
My grandmother knows herbal teas that you can take as medicine, especially when it comes to like the Latinx community. When we look at witchcraft, we're not necessarily looking back to like 200 years ago. We're just looking back one or two generations to see, oh, like these practices are still alive. So we may not call them witchcraft. We might just say, oh, that's Catholic folk magic, like my grandma does that. Similarly, when you go to like, when I hear from Black practitioners, a lot of them who are involved in the witchcraft community are also involved in Afro-diaspora traditions or African traditional religions, right? So like some of them are involved in hoodoo. Some of them are involved in Lukumi. Some of them are involved in Ifa. Speaking as a white person myself, white people don't often, especially white Protestants, don't have anywhere else to go. But a lot of people who have been othered or who are like non-white ethnically or racially, you don't have to become a witch because you might have other options for doing folk magic and alternative spirituality. And some of them decide to become witches anyway.
More carrots.
I think that a witch is different for every practitioner, whether male or female. For me, it is very herbal and herbal medicine and being in tune with the natural world around us. But also it's faith. It's faith in that there's power in everything. There's power in the trees. There's power in the moon. There's power in the grass. There's, you know, power in everything. And the more that I practice, the more that I learn, the more I write about it, I realized that it's not just a meditative state of being or a meditative state of practicing, but it really is how you look upon the world, how you look up, you know, with upon and treat other people as well. I mean, there is magic every day. And I think a lot of people would be surprised how common magic is. Magic is making a wish and blowing out a birthday candle. Magic is throwing, you know, salt over your shoulder for protection. Things that people use every day that, you know, they don't identify themselves as a witch. But the practices and the folk medicine and the folklore, you know, go back thousands of years. And so for me, it's part of that history. It's part of that lineage. It's part of my day-to-day. It's part of my cooking. It's part of my gardening. It's part of my crafting. So it's very hands-on, which is something that I appreciate as a person, as a woman, that it is so hands-on because it's not something that I've experienced in other faith practices before. And I like being able to sort of dig my hands into that marrow of the world and be able to work with it and make something out of it.
I'd say for me, witchcraft is honoring the earth.
Pixie.
And then also making sure that I use my own free will to manifest what I want in my life through the process of ritual.
Like my mom, you know, she every time I talk to her about it, she's very supportive, extremely supportive of what I do. But she keeps saying, do you have to call yourself a witch? Do you have to call yourself a witch? Let's not call you a witch. Let's try to find something else, which I think is really funny. And I keep telling her, well, mom, you know, that's what it's called. And I think that other people or, you know, say acquaintances of mine, they get their ideas about what a witch is from, you know, folklore, ghost stories, movies, that kind of stuff. And, you know, witches, they don't fly on broomsticks. They don't worship the devil. They don't, you know, I don't know, eat babies or drink blood or, you know, any kind of terrible things like that. The ones that I have met are some of the warmest people, very supporting. They do a lot of things I do. They garden, they bake, they do crafts with herbs. They, you know, make their own, you know, medicines out of herbs. They, oh, you know, revere the moon. And it's just so funny because I feel like witches have gotten such a bad rap. And I think a lot of that is from, you know, centuries of male fear of female power and female knowledge.
Witchcraft has always been inherently a feminist act. Witchcraft has evolved as such to fit our feminist ideals. There is a vein of witchcraft going through New York that welcomes trans people, non-binary people, and queer people. I'm finding that young witches on TikTok, they do not want to associate with Wicca whatsoever, and they're more empowered with esoteric witchcraft because of how gender fluid they feel as a generation.
You know, when a baby would die, they would say that the midwife did it, that she's a witch. You know, if somebody's cow, you know, their milk turned or something, you know, they would find a reason and point out the old lady who lived next door. Oh, she's a witch. But when, you know, people don't have the power to do those things. They don't have power to wish the child dead. They don't have the power to turn milk sour or anything. It's just, you can't do that. You cannot go against the laws of nature, gravity, anything like that. So I think that people who don't know, don't understand, or even they want to understand, they're still very influenced by popular culture and centuries of myth and folklore.
If anyone wants the really dry academic version of this with like the full explanation and all of the references, I would just go read Caliban and the Witch by Sylvia Federici. But for the short version, the way that witchcraft and gender interact is the word witch itself and our modern understanding of it comes from these phenomenon called the witch crazes that happened in early modern Europe, where they were every once in a while, there'd be a small outbreak of like mass murder of lower class citizenry of mostly female, mostly women, though not always persons. And so these people were murdered for a lot of different reasons. They could have been widows that turned into scapegoats for like the local famine. They could have been noble women who angered the wrong noble or threatened the wrong noble and had to be disposed of. They could also have been just like anyone who had a spiritual practice and became an easy scapegoat for some other problem that was going on in the community. But the majority of these people were women, and the majority of the things that they were accused of had to do with women's spirituality and with just like women's daily living, right? So one of the big, big things that witches get accused of a lot in like the early modern period is like making all the crops dry up, making the cow stop giving milk, bewitching men into doing things that they really should not be doing, that sort of thing. And when we look back on this mythologized idea of the witch that was put onto these people who may or may not have been practitioners of magic themselves, it becomes really easy, especially in modern America, for women to identify with that, who are trying to like create their own new way of expressing that womanhood. And I think more broadly for non-binary people and men, there's still that sense of like identification with being the weirdo in town who's the first up against the wall when the local politician has to blame someone for their problems.
I find that a lot of people turn to methods like that when they feel like they need an answer to something or they want something to happen and they're too far away for something to happen. When I was working, all of the orange satin bat were sold out of Salem because everyone was buying orange satin bags to do charms of protection against Donald Trump. And they picked orange because he's orange.
Witchcraft kind of really bucks against institutions and particularly male-dominated institutions. And I think that the elephant in the room is that we as a culture in like modern America are used to the only spiritual institutions really being Christian ones. And most Christian denominations only in the last 50 years began admitting women as priests. And to this day, there are a lot of places that won't. Like, there's no way a Catholic church is going to have a female priest like doing mass and causing the transubstantiation and all of that mess, right? And then the same thing happens where for a lot of people who don't have a spirituality that's like Christian or churchy, they kind of find a lot of their answers to the universe in science and in STEM. So they're just like, you know, what happens after death? I'm going to go read some studies about it. You know, why does it rain? I'm going to go read a science about it. Like, science has kind of become for some people sort of like a materialist spirituality, and STEM fields are also heavily dominated by men. And then the other place that we go for spiritual for spiritual contact is to doctors, right? Like, going and seeing a doctor is a very spiritual experience, and we've stripped a lot of the spirituality out of it for various reasons. But for witchcraft to come in and say, well, let's reconnect with sort of like a non-institutional holistic healing modality, right? Let's become the authorities of our own individual spirituality. Let's do for ourselves. Says, not only do we not need institutions to care for us spiritually, it also says that we as women, right, or non-binary people or men, don't need men specifically to do these. We don't need a male doctor. We don't need a male scientist. We don't need a male priest. Witchcraft is like another very feminine way of turning against these and saying, you know, my spiritual health is something that I can take accountability for and that I can control. And so I'm going to do that.
You have to think like a young person and go to all of the forums and go to TikTok and look up witch talk, or go to Facebook and look up different witch groups. There are websites that have like a whole anthology of groups, covens with their like practice listed. That's available to you on the internet.
My witchcraft journey actually started when I hit puberty around age 13.
More carrots.
I remember very clearly that every morning I would sit on the bus on the way to school. It was early morning. It was cold. I would put my headphones on and listen to things on my CD player, because we still had CD players back then. And I would close my eyes and I would purposely try to focus on my music so hard that I didn't have to be aware of the other kids on the bus around me, because they were all being miserable jerks. And apparently if you do that enough times, you can accidentally induce a trance state. So I was 13 years old. I have no idea what a trance state is. And I'm suddenly experiencing these like edge of consciousness, like edge of reality experiences where things are like I'm having these visions and I'm having these images come to me, and I'm like, I'm not imagining these things. They're imagining themselves. So immediately, right, having been raised in a society that stigmatizes all of this very deeply, I'm jumping to, in my anxiety brain, oh, I must be developing schizophrenia. I'm going to lose my mind, and then no one's going to be able to talk to me. Fortunately, like, that didn't turn out to be the case. Like, people with schizophrenia can lead lives that are still fulfilling, and trance states are not hallucinatory states. It's not the same thing. But that's what really started me looking into, like, what is an altered state? What is symbolism? What does it mean when you have a dream and you see like an owl perched on a clock? Is that a symbol, or is my brain just like tossing out all of the garbage that it gathered in the course of the day? And that was multiplied when, at the age of 18, I was reading Demian by Hermann Hesse, and I had what I can only really call as like a mystical experience, or like a minor ego death. Like, I was thinking so hard about the book and opening my mind up to this way of thinking that I never had suggested to me before, that I kind of forgot who I was. And everything kind of become this really weird oneness, and then it just went nuts from there.
I am an adopted person, and I contacted and created a relationship with my paternal biological family in 2008 as I was graduating graduate school simultaneously. And I have learned recently from my aunt, my birth father's sister, that our family actually traces its lineage back to the Old Norse people, which I found very fascinating. My aunt is a witchcraft practitioner. She's pagan. She has said that another one of our aunts is also a practitioner, and that the lineage of these practitioners goes back hundreds of years. So it was really fascinating to find all of those things out and to realize these things that I've been interested in all my life, that it seems like, of course, there's an innate reason for that. My parents were very open to a lot of different religions and faith practices. But my mom, she would always tell me that we're all trying to get to the same place. We just take different paths to get there. I love that idea. I love it. Growing up, I never felt that the church was a good fit for me. I didn't necessarily hate it or anything like that. I loved the ritual. I loved the beauty. I loved the mystery and the mythology. I loved the incense. I loved the candles. I loved that. I thought it was great. I mean, especially being a writer, the Catholic Church is just rife with symbolism and mystery and beauty and all of that. I left the church several years ago when all of these stuff was coming out about the church sex scandals with children. I couldn't abide by it. I felt like I really needed to take a stand, however, in my own small way. But the thing is, I haven't lost necessarily my faith in that way. I still believe in God, and I still utilize the saints. And I sort of blend the idea of what witchcraft represents for me and the witchcraft practices and the Sabbats with sort of this Catholic tradition. And I know it sounds really weird and that it doesn't necessarily go together. And, you know, it is something that I continually work through and create my own path. But that's also the beauty of witchcraft is there are no set guidelines. There's no one way to practice. A lot of organized religion, you have strict rules, you have dogma, you have catechism like in the church. And it's like, you have to do these things. You have to believe these things. But in witchcraft, you don't. You can pick and choose. I like that. I like the idea of being able to sort of use my saints as, say, someone else may use another deity, a god or a goddess. I don't use a god or a goddess. Some people do. I don't. I look sort of as these gods and goddesses almost as saints. I grew up thinking saints were kind of like helpers. And I like that. I like this idea of having helpers out there in the world or in the universe or wherever they exist, sort of surrounding you like friends.
More carrots. Don't tear.
Just that if there are any like baby witches out there who are listening to this, take small steps, go slow, keep a journal, and the first thing that you should learn is like how to ground and center. And that would be the one thing that I definitely want to like put out there is like you can get started today, if you want to learn this stuff. You don't need money. It's not going to change who you are, although it might encourage you to face some of your fears. Like, it's really not that scary. And I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be heard. Like, that means a lot to me.
To me, America is whatever you want America to be, just like any other faith, just like witchcraft, just like any other practice. America is vast. And America is history and storied. America is a lot of languages and a lot of voices. America is folk magic. America is new science and old science. America is so many things that it's sort of a beautiful system that when you bring the best intention to it, it can be a place that's amazing and magical. When you bring a bad intention to it, it can be devastating and ugly. So America is really anything that you want it to be. You just have to decide, what intention do I want to put out there today? Thank you. I appreciate it. It was great.
More carrots. Don't tear it. More carrots. Where's Garrett? Me insane. Don't lie. fried